All right, welcome back to the Paul W. Smith Show. Good to have you with us this Monday morning. And as always, at this time, we talk to our good friend Mike Lee, the managing editor at Crane's Detroit Business. Our interview today brought to you by Taft Law, a modern law firm with over 800 attorneys brought throughout the Midwest and the District of Columbia. Learn more at taftlaw.com. Mike, happy Monday. Good morning to you. You, like all of us, have been tracking a number of really important stories, and of course, we're watching what's happening in the banking sector. And, you know, what's interesting is the FDIC and the Feds issued kind of a bleak outlook for a number of banks in the immediate aftermath of what happened at the Silicon Valley Bank. And now we're starting to, I guess, maybe gain a little bit of clarity and a better picture of where we're headed, especially with some of these local banks like we're seeing out in Grand Rapids or obviously Comerica, which has a big footprint here still. What are we starting to learn about some of these weaker banks and particularly those in our area?
Well, that's who we talked to this week was our local banks who don't really do the same sort of business that Silicon Valley Bank did. Silicon Valley Bank, as we all know, catered to startups that had gotten a lot of investment. They parked their money in that bank, and that bank made some bad decisions, which led to the crisis there. Our local banks, one of the local bankers made the point, you know, they call us all banks, but what we do is not really anything like what they do. So our local banks are sort of watching nervously from afar. The credit rating agency Moody's last week put Comerica on a list of banks at least to keep an eye on. Comerica does do banking in California, has some exposure there, but also came back pretty vociferously and said, you know, we don't have the same problems that this bank had. It's kind of a nervous time for the bankers, but I think we'll get a little more clarity this week. The Federal Reserve Board meets tomorrow and Wednesday, and we'll get a decision on where interest rates are going. That's a big factor in what brought down Silicon Valley Bank. It had made bets that made sense when interest rates were low, and they're not now. And we'll see if the Fed is going to keep raising rates to try and bring inflation down, or if it will take a pause now and just see what's going to happen next.
You know, Mike, one of the things that you're following, and I must confess, I had no idea that this was going on, and you know, save the Timothy O'Leary jokes or whatever, but a growing number of businesses are prescribing or preparing to prescribe psychedelic drugs for the treatment of many mental health conditions. I know this is a story you guys are following closely.
Yeah, this is really, really an interesting thing. Right now you're seeing clinics pop up prescribing ketamine, which is a kind of an anesthetic. Some people, it has been used as a horse tranquilizer. That's how people know it's been used as a recreational drug. But it's being studied more and more for depression, PTSD, and other mental health conditions. And you're starting to see clinics pop up. I mean, it's a prescription drug. They are allowed to prescribe it for these conditions, and people are taking it. At the same time, you're also seeing more studies done on other psychedelic drugs. Psilocybin mushrooms are a real good example of that. They're not legal yet, but a lot of people think they will be. They've been decriminalized in some places, including Detroit. And studies are more and more showing that these drugs used correctly in a medical setting can have positive effects for people with these mental health conditions. You know, we've legalized marijuana. I think it's a good question. I think that people will be asking, do we need more drugs? Do we need maybe less drugs? I don't know. But it's certainly something that's going on, and we'll be tracking what happens with these clinics.
What does the federal government think about this? Because I know there are some of these clinics that have popped up, obviously here locally, that are treating patients in this manner. But across the United States, there have been different types of ketamine clinics that have popped up. I mean, a lot of these drugs are still illegal federally. So what? How are they looking at this?
It's an interesting question. One of the factors here is the rise of telemedicine. There are outfits that are prescribing ketamine specifically, which is a Schedule III drug according to the FDA. So it's not as tightly regulated as many other drugs. And you've seen sort of telemedicine outfits pop up that are prescribing this and other drugs for all kind of conditions, and partly because the regulations for telemedicine were loosened during COVID. Mm-hmm. That's going to go in the other direction soon, when the state of emergency is lifted. And so we'll see what happens with that. They've sort of been operating, I think, in a gray area. Right now ketamine can be prescribed by doctors. They're allowed to prescribe drugs for what they call off-label uses. So we'll have to see if regulation gets tighter on this.
Yeah, and look, I think we can all agree that if there's something that we can do to help people, especially veterans that are dealing with PTSD or others that are dealing with mental health issues, if they're not responding to some of the more traditional medicines and there's other ways, I think we're all for it. But there is a certain line that we need to toe, and the safety and all of the and the research that needs to go that would need to go in. I feel like there is a fine line, but obviously there is some success there with some patients. You also have talked about in Cranes Detroit, in CranesDetroit.com, that we are now becoming what's known maybe as the mural city. We are seeing so many beautiful pieces of artwork pop up all around the city. And I know you drive past a great one in Eastern Market every day.
Yeah, there's a mural on Gratiot Avenue of Rosa Parks near Eastern Market. And Eastern Market is just full of beautiful murals. And the city is really embracing this. I think over the past, you know, really decade, you've seen murals pop up just everywhere. Really, really beautiful art. They all seem to have young people taking pictures in front of them. So the city of Detroit has really set a goal of becoming one of the nation's top mural city. And they've got a whole program for landlords who want a mural on the side of their building. Our reporter Kirk Pinhoe spelled out the whole process. There actually is a process. The city has an app that guides you around.
Yeah.
To see some of the murals in the city. I highly suggest you check it out. It's a good way to use a few hours. And
well, look, we can be the motor city. We can be the mortgage city. We can be the mural city. Why not be known for
absolutely
a whole lot of stuff?
Let's go.
Hey, Mike, always appreciate it. And you can find all of this and more on Cranes Detroit Business, cranesbusiness.com. All right, got to take a break. More next on the Paul W. Smith Show here on WJR.